In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This morning's sermon is based on the Old Testament reading from Jeremiah chapter 1. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. Here ends the reading. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus says at the end of the gospel reading this day that he must go from town to town in order to preach the gospel. He can't stay in one place, but it is important for him to spread the news, and so from town to town. And Jesus is in this text referring to his prophetic office. And the prophets were those in the Old Testament who were God's announcers, their declarers, those in whom, as it said to Jeremiah, he puts his word in order to speak. This is the office that Jeremiah is appointed to in the text we just read. God in this text said that the nations were all subject to the word of God, and the word of God would be placed into Jeremiah's mouth. And so it was under Jeremiah, this meek little prophet, a young man, that all the nations were subject, not because of his qualities, but because God had placed his word in the mouth of Jeremiah. And all creation is under the word of God. The first great prophet in scripture and in history is Moses. And in Deuteronomy 18, in Moses' last farewell sermon to his people, after the Passover was long gone, after the exodus from Egypt under Moses, after giving the law on Mount Sinai, after 40 years of wandering and death in the wilderness, before God was delivering the new generation into the promised land of Canaan, Moses here stands at the brink to remind the people. He tells them, you didn't want God to speak to you from Mount Sinai. His voice rumbled from the mountain, and you said to me, Moses, don't let him talk to us anymore because we're afraid of him. Let him tell you, and you tell us. And God thought that was a good idea. And Moses, in this Deuteronomy 18, at the end of his prophetic ministry, says, God will send another prophet like me, and him you also must heed, you must listen to him. And Jeremiah is a prophet like Moses, and one whom his people should heed. And Jesus was a prophet like Moses, but as we shall see in the text today, Jesus is more than a prophet. He is the prophet that is more than Moses. May we learn to listen to God's word as God's word is God himself. May we not reject it and close it out of our ears and our hearts. But may God give us all his word into our ears, into our spirits, and into our hearts, that by the grace of God we may heed his word and be healed of our sin and have a Savior in Jesus Christ, the prophet. In Jeremiah's call recorded in our text, when God appoints him to be God's spokesman, his prophet, Jeremiah claims to be unfit for his office because he is not an elder man who would be respected as one of great experience and learning, but he's only a boy. He's only a youth. But God tells him two important things. First of all, he says, though unseen, as Jeremiah is prophesying to the nations, he sees the great kings in their palaces, surrounded by their 1,000-man armies and the heavy horses and chariots and armaments, and he seems like nothing in his glory and in his might compared to the nations, God says, though you cannot see me, believe in me. They are many and they are mighty, but I am on your side. You are my man and my spokesman. Greater is he who is unseen than all the might of the men around you. I stand by my prophets, God says. God also tells Jeremiah, you may not have the white hair of experience and wisdom as many of the elders do, but you have something better than experience and wisdom. The Ancient of Days himself is the one whose wisdom will be in your mouth, and he is the one of old. He is the one by whose wisdom all of this universe and this world was framed and created. The wisdom of God himself will be in your mouth, for I have put my word in your mouth. So what does that mean? What does it mean to us? It means that God works and speaks through the agency of human beings and in their words. Now, that's not really such a strange concept, even for sinful and fallen man. In this Deuteronomy verse that we had referred to, when God promises a promise, he warns the people about human agency speaking for spirits and God. He warns in this same verses, never let our people listen to spiritists, those who divine the spirits, those who make alliances with the spiritual world in order to have their curious questions answered by the spirits. Never listen to diviners, those that use occultish means like crystal balls, like tarot cards, like fortune telling. Never listen to them who try to answer your questions about the future. For witchcraft and all such people are not in league with me, because I speak through prophets like Moses and the prophetic word. They are in league with the devil. In fact, in our gospel today, even Jesus won't allow the devil to speak what sounds like the truth. The devil in the text says, you are the Holy One of Israel, and Jesus indeed is the Holy One of Israel. And they ask, did you come now to destroy me? And indeed, it is God's will that the devil and all his evil angels be destroyed forever in torture in hell. There is truth in that. But Jesus will not permit the devil to take up his name and his announcement. He says, silence. Because he knows that even when the devil uses God's word, he cannot help being the devil and a liar from the beginning, to add his own deception and lie to God's truth. And so also in the church, no unbeliever is allowed to use God's word, because an unbeliever whose flesh is allied with the devil, who has not the Spirit of God, will always twist the word of God and never give the meaning and understanding to the script of Scripture that God himself intends. And so, in the Old Testament, Moses and the books of Moses are the rule and guide for his people identifying who is a prophet of God and who is not. Jeremiah would be recognized as a true prophet who is like Moses, because the same message that Moses gave was given, perhaps expanded like in a sermon, perhaps applied to the people and the nations of that time. But the message that was placed into Moses' mouth by God himself is placed by the same God with the same message into Jeremiah's mouth. And therefore they could tell that he was a prophet of God. And when we refer to God's placing his word into Jeremiah's or Moses' mouth or any man's mouth who is a prophet, a proclaimer of the word of God, we should understand the nature of that word. Although miracles happen with that word, it is not magic. And it is powerful not because it derives its power from God, but as blessed John the Evangelist says in John chapter 1, the Word is not derived from God, the Word is God. God Himself is in the mouth of the prophet. God Himself proceeds with that word out of the mouth of that prophet, and by the power of the Holy Spirit enters into the ears of the hearer and the heart and the soul of the hearer, and all who do not stubbornly resist that word and shut it out, knowing that it is the power of God, are claimed by that word, and God brings His comfort of grace to sinners who know that they have offended God through the promise of the Messiah in the Old Testament and the declaration of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, in the New. And when men heard the word and by the power of that Spirit believed that word, they received peace in their hearts. Though they may not have had peace in their lives, peace in their families, peace with their neighbors, peace with the nations around them, they had peace because God, who is greater than them all, declared peace. The new covenant that Jeremiah describes in chapter 32 told the people of the broken covenant of the Old Testament that a new covenant was coming, and God would reveal Himself as the one who forgives their sins. But when most of the nation of the Jews heard the words of Jeremiah, when God in Jeremiah told that nation that they had broken the covenant with their unfaithfulness, that they were not worthy of the grace of God, and that God was displeased with them, they would not hear it. They shut their ears. They shut their hearts. They attacked Jeremiah. They threw him into a well. They, by church tradition, killed him terribly as a martyr because they would not hear God when He called them to repentance for their sins. They hardened their hearts, and it still happens today. God calls sinners from their sins, but they turn in their pride and say, "Stop telling me about my sins. Quit making me feel so bad about what I am and what I do. I've been a Jew, a Lutheran, all my life. How dare you treat me that way?" But it's not your pastor doing it. It's God doing it. Harden not your heart unless you're perfect, unless you have no sin that needs rebuking, that needs forgiving, that needs to be reclaimed and improved by God. Stop hardening your heart and listen. Take it to heart. Unless you're perfect, unless you have no longer sin to be rebuked. Do not harden your heart lest you bypass the grace and forgiveness that God wants to give you. And so there is a sense that all the Old Testament prophets were like Moses. Not that they did all the fantastic miracles like Moses did, but they all acknowledged him as the prophet and carried on his message as the blueprint for all of the Old Testament prophets that followed. They spoke and expanded on his words. But Christ is not a prophet like Moses, but he is the prophet who is like Moses, because he is in the mold of Moses' preaching. He affirms what Moses says. But in Jesus, we see someone who is so great that though he is like Moses, he breaks the mold. He expands it. He takes it to the point of breaking so that we no longer would listen to Moses, but hear only the prophet, which is Jesus Christ. You see, Moses, as God's prophet, gives us the law. But not even Moses could live up to the requirements of the law. He himself preaches Deuteronomy as his farewell sermon because he had sinned. He had sinned in the sight of God and the people, and because he had broken the covenant, because he had sinned, God had said he would never enter the Holy Land, and so he has to bid them farewell. Jesus affirms Moses' law not only by word, but also by deed. No man, not even Moses, fulfilled the law that comes to us by Moses, but this man, Jesus, the prophet, he did. Because not only had God put his word into Jesus' mouth so that he declared it, but Jesus is unique. He is the Word made flesh. He is a different kind of human being than any of us. We all can say by God's grace, if we have faith in God, that God dwells in us. And that's a blessed thing to be said. But we can point to no one in this room and say, that man or that woman is God. But Jesus, you can. You can point to Jesus and say, God not only dwells in his flesh, but his flesh is God, because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That man is God. And it is God himself coming and telling us about our offense to God, that God is enraged by our sin, and rightfully so. Jesus says and proves that sin deserves eternal detachment and banishment from God because Jesus himself bore our sins. Jesus himself was abandoned by God when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus himself came into our flesh and bivouacked, tented among us to see our stain of sin, to see how we had ruined ourselves, to see how the devil infests our flesh with the lies of his thoughts, and to come into that and deliver us from that. Not only with his word as a prophet, but as Moses prescribed, sacrifice. As Moses said that there should be blood of animals shed when there was sin in the assembly, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. This prophet, Jesus, is more than a prophet because the sacrifice that is commanded by the prophet is made by Jesus Christ, and the sacrifice is Jesus Christ himself, who is a prophet and more than a prophet. Himself, the sacrifice for the sins of the world. And this is Jesus' prophetic office yet today in the church. And we need to hear it. It is both law and it is gospel. And the law comes first. That's why when people will not heed the law and sin with impunity, and want to call themselves Christians, the Lord has prescribed a remedy for it. They are to be confronted. And if they will not listen to the word of God, they are confronted by the whole church, even to the point of excommunication. Now, people think that the pastor's doing it. People think that the pastor gets some nefarious pleasure out of the excommunication of people from the Christian congregation. But it's not the pastor doing it. It is Jesus. And if you are offended by it, you are offended at Jesus and what he prescribes to be done in the Christian congregation. And you're missing the love. It is unloving to see someone neglect grace for their sins. It is unloving to see someone so enmeshed in their sinful flesh that they're walking away from God and they might not even know it. It is unloving to let them go to hell and say nothing. Jesus throws himself in their way through his church and says, don't. And it's unpleasant because sinners confronted with their sin don't want to listen to God. But how will they be improved? How will they be made better if Jesus does not confront them and turn them and frighten them, tell them where they're going if they don't have grace? And if that's true in church discipline, that it is Jesus who is doing it, the other side is equally true. When you are crushed by the weight and the load of your sin, and you want relief from that load, and it is a terrible, terrible load, that's why you come to the church. That's why you come to confess your sins and receive absolution. That's why you want to hear about Christ shedding his blood on the cross because he loved his friends and you are his friends. He laid down his life for you and for me. Don't ever believe that the sermon is the pastor's giving you comfort. Don't ever believe that the absolution is the pastor giving you forgiveness. If you believe that, it's all worthless and you might as well leave. It is Jesus putting his word into your heart and into your soul. I love you. I forgive you. I laid down my life for you. I'm going to put my body and my blood into your mouth and into your soul so that you can not only believe that I paid the price, but that you can receive the price that I paid for you. Believe it is Jesus. And it will be so for you because Jesus does not lie. As surely as it is not me who is saying this to you, but it is Jesus. And Jesus' peace is yours. Amen. And may the peace that gives us that surpasses our understanding then keep your hearts and your minds in the true peace of Jesus Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.